Hello, and welcome to Cinder and Hops, the podcast where we put our guards down, take up a drink and a smoke, and enjoy conversation together. My name is David, and each time we get to sit down, we'll be tackling a new topic, and nothing is off limits. From theology to politics, Marvel versus DC to small business, pop culture to cultural taboo, if you're talking about it, odds are so are we. The goal is that after the last ember falls and the last sip is down, we can find something that we do agree on, because that's what this podcast is all about, reclaiming conversation in a split world. All right, guys. Well, welcome back to Cinder and Hops. Tonight, we have Dwayne the Rock Atkinson, all the way from a fireplace on the mountains. I'm really excited to have Dwayne here tonight. I'm not going to even introduce him. I'm going to let him introduce himself. He is a legend in the podcast community, and so I want him to introduce himself. And then, just for the sake of silliness and formalities, introduce what it is you're drinking tonight. I've got the old good classic Shock Top and breaking out the pipe for the first time in a bit.
Nice. Well, yes, my name is Dwayne Atkinson, husband of one wife, father of four kids. Woo. And opposite would be pretty bad.
I feel like you've used this introduction before. That came out too confidently.
Hey, bro, I do this all the time. But anyway, I am a podcaster by, I guess you could say, vocation. I do have a regular job, but I do podcasting. Been doing it for 5 years. By God's grace, built it into a podcast network.
And yeah, you did.
As of today, collectively have definitely reached over 800,000 downloads as a network. One show in particular almost reached that by themselves, the Just Thinking podcast, one that I produced. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell as far as who I am. I wouldn't say I'm a podcast legend. I still feel like the rookie on the block. That's what kind of push and keep me motivated. And tonight I'm drinking it's one of my favorites. I've always messed the name up too. It's Moon Dust or Star Dust.
But I guess Sierra Nevada?
No, it's speed, it's something. I'm not good at it, but I love it. It's delicious.
Normally I got something local, but tonight I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna go with something easy.
Yeah, so that's the funny thing. It was in between Space Dust, that's the name. Space Dust. By Thomas Creek.
I knew it was relatively local.
Yeah, yeah. I was kind of bouncing in between the Space Dust and the Trifecta. So, but I got my frosty mug that was gifted to me, and wish I was really outside because I definitely hadn't had a cigar in a long time.
Well, hopefully, you know, this is a live recording, so hopefully we'll get some good audio from this, and we won't get a bunch of the blowing winds and all that stuff, although I can feel a gust coming up, so I guess we will see. But all right, so Cinder and Hops is just an opportunity to sit down, have a conversation about just the stuff that we always do when we're sitting down with buddies with a cigar, a pipe, and a beer late at night. I know it's not super late, but it's just an opportunity to sit down and have just those regular conversations that we have. But today I really wanted to jump into some of the more heavy duty, industrial strength theology, like my old college professor used to say. So tell us a little bit about yourself, in the sense of where you came theologically, because we're going to do some reform talk tonight. That is your thing. Now, I'll give you space at the end to really jump in and dive, do a deep dive into what it is you do, with your podcast. Tell me about your background, where you came from theologically, and then how you got to Reformed.
Gotcha. So it is a weird story. You know, it's kind of all stories that end up in just, it has to be God to end where they are, where they end up. I grew up Baptist. My parents were practicing Baptist. I mean, they really, you know, just down home, you know, Southern Baptist folks. And I was a drummer at the church, and I played the drums. I mean, I didn't miss a Sunday. I was always there. But I had like what they say, the appearance of being a Christian, but I definitely, my heart was definitely far from God. And so God actually used pride to bring me down and to humble me, because I was a drummer, athlete, you know, I felt like I was a ladies' man. So that was one of my things. And
you are a ladies' man, Dwayne. Well, just be real.
One ladies' man. That's right. And so he used the old school three-way phone call, and they called a play up. And that night I rolled on my knees and I, you know, asked God, I said, God, I'm messing up my life. You know, I need better. I need to do better. That night I got saved, really believe up wholeheartedly, regenerated that night. But the bad thing is, I wish I could say it was happily ever after, but it wasn't. Because I was an athlete and a musician, the first place I turned for first place I turned for preaching, because think about it, musician, athlete, where do you look to when you want to find good musicians or athlete? You go to TV. And so right. I put TV in, thinking like, okay, these guys, they on the professional level. They're on TV, they the professionals.
And real quick, before you keep going.
Yeah.
I don't know if you mentioned what was your denominational background during your athletic student drumming?
Baptist.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was Baptist.
One? There are a lot of them.
I know. I wasn't even in the know that much. I just knew we were Baptist, you know. I didn't know the Southern or the Reformed, or I didn't know any of that. I know it's not Reformed Baptist now, but I think they are actually missionary Baptists. Not that
Gotcha.
Remember us sending any missions anywhere. I think it was just our name. So, like I said, I jumped into the world of televangelism, which introduced me to Word of Faith, speaking in tongues, speaking and declaring. And to me, that was the next step. This is the next level in my growth. You know, Baptist people, they don't do any of this. I need to grow up. I need to be, you know, I need to be on their level. I need to be the next Creflo Dollar, next TD Jakes.
That is the silliest name. Like you can't call yourself a Christian and have your stage name, which it's not his birth name. There's literally no way that his parents will, you know what? We're naming you Creflo Dollar.
I don't know, man.
I guess I should rephrase. I hope that his parents didn't pop that child out and go, you know what? Your name's gonna be Creflo Dollar.
Hey, you never know, bro. I know plenty of Lexus and Mercedes and spaghetti. So you never know. So then I met my wife on MySpace, and she actually I dated myself, I know. She was attending
at least it wasn't Zynga.
No, I know, that would have been even worse. Or in my hood, we used to be on Black Planet. That was the old dating site. So she was a member at Redemption World Outreach Center.
Okay.
So I came to Greenville, and I jumped wholeheartedly into the whole culture of Redemption. I was on staff. I was in meetings. Oh, wow. Yeah, I was in the band. I
met drumming, of course.
Percussion. We already had a set drummer, so I jumped on a percussion side just to be a part. Like I said, I met a lot of those guys: Benny Hinn, Eddie Long. Sat in green rooms, different space with those guys. And when I started to see the manipulation, that's when I started to question what we were doing here, you know, because everything was all about money. It was all about my offer. Go ahead.
When you say manipulation, can you expound on that some?
Uh-huh. So they would stage things to happen.
No way.
Literally. People still do it. I mean, if you watch some of Justin Peters' videos, you'll see, you know, guys with iPads, you know, calling out people name fake prophecy, but they're looking them up on Facebook. I witnessed that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and there were stage things that happened. I was at a meeting in Colombia, and I tweeted, hey, in Colombia, can't wait to see such and such. And I tagged him. And then miraculously, he spelled my name, which you guys can see is kind of a weird spelling. So he was like, is there a Dwayne? His name is spelled different. And then he spelled it out, and I was like, ah, man, you saw my Twitter post. Get out of here. But, so that kind of stuff was going on and still going on. So that actually kind of pulled me. I started pulling out of that realm. But I still wasn't going into something good. I was actually falling into the New Apostolic Reformation because they claimed that they were
okay.
apostles, and that they, you know, that they did the whole Jewish calendar and kept the feast, and so it was like they're the real Christians. A lot of them do that. Not all NRA people do it, but the set that I fell under was in that, and so I thought, okay, I'm not dealing with the prosperity folks, but I'm about to deal with these apostles. And so I joined the program, me and my wife, we did this
okay. whole this lesson. Is still at World Redemption?
Well, we were there, but we were taking courses with apostle out of Texas. And so yeah, it's it don't make good sense, but we're gonna keep going.
Push on through.
Yeah, push on through, man. We get there. So we took the courses, man, and flew to Dallas after, you know, took the course. And at the ceremony, they're supposed to say which fivefold ministry gift you possess: apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist. And so I was labeled as an apostle.
Okay. Wow, man. What are you doing on a podcast, man? You should be out there apostling it up.
I know, right? So immediately, man, after that, I literally felt like a weight on my shoulders. And I look back because it just, you know, I almost went back to that feeling because I knew I was not worthy of the calling. And man. So, and then I started studying scripture and find out the real requirements for apostles, because the book. So when we were doing the course, they gave us a whole bunch of books to read, but not, you know, scripture references was like, you know, spot, you know, just pulling out whatever you can to go at what you're teaching. And I finally like just started wanting to study. What an apostle, because I'm like, if I'm gonna be this, I want to be an apostle. I want to make sure that I'm everything and doing what the scripture said.
Right.
I noticed that the requirements also was to see, you know, see Christ, see the ascension, perform miracles, you know, raise the dead. And I was like, I haven't done any of that stuff.
Man, I am disappointed in your apostleship there, Dwayne.
Me too, man. Me too. So that was the case, man. And I kind of, you know, kind of was moving away from that, and I started a discernment page called Be Not Deceived. And that page, we kind of, at the time when we first started, it was more conspiracy theory, and you know, we just trying to expose everything, like, you know, everything that's wrong with the world. And it eventually grew into, you know, between false teachers and things like that. But while we were
that in is the, interesting.
Yeah, man. While we were in the conspiracy theory side, and I was just this great exposer, and I could see the truth that nobody else could see. I was about to take on Calvinism. yeah, that was my next victim. Hey, I would expose Calvinism.
Let's
and
do it.
You know? And so I had a coworker of mine heard me talking about it to somebody. He's like, hey, you want to learn about it? It's like, yeah, sure. He said, well, meet me in my office every day during lunch, and we'll go through the Westminster Confession. So I'm thinking like, yeah, bring me
it. We're going to get it.
And then I'm going to turn it and flip it on you. And so he literally every day brought me in his office, went line, turn around, explain it, line, turn around. Do you understand? And when it was all over, man, I was like, you know what? I'm a Calvinist.
Dang it, man.
Yeah.
You got me.
Yeah. And that was my introduction to Reformed theology, and then he just introduced me to a lot of resources, and I just began to dive deep, man. Just dive deep until, you know, talk about maybe 8 years later, podcast, apparel, and everything is Reformed theology.
I mean, you've got such an amazing brand right now, and I use that term first because you just said, you know, you got apparel and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, you've also got a really phenomenal ministerial opportunity because you are, you, for lack of a better term, like, you know, the enemy,
yes.
You know, the tradition that you're coming out of, and you're like, this is false. Like, this is, yes. I mean, right now I'm going through, Galatians with my high school guys in our youth group, and mm-hmm. you know, the first few verses, you foolish Galatians, like who has deceived you? And you have that, like you are living proof of someone coming up out of that foolish deception. And you have a really awesome opportunity to reach out to those who were like you and once were some of you, that was you, like you, you were the once was. That's a really cool thing you have. And I mean, we'll go a little bit further into, I guess, the bar podcast part later today, later in this conversation, but just real quick, what are the different parts of your network that, that you've developed over time?
So originally the plan for the network was because when I built the Be Not Deceived team, it was pretty much like a digital team. You're talking about 2012 when people weren't doing Facebook videos and stuff like that. We were doing that back then. And so with that team, as whenever we all actually discovered Reformed Theology, well, not all of us, some of us already there, but we all discovered it in a time period within itself. And then it was like, hey, And so when I wanted to get into podcasting, or the original vision was to have the whole team on one show, and we just kind of round table everything. But it's almost impossible to get more than two people on the same schedule.
So that would have been pretty epic, though. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I know. I know. We did it for a season under the bar label. I mean, not under the bar label, under the Be Not Deceived label. Mm-hmm. We were literally cranking out. It was, what was it? Blog Talk Radio. We were literally cranking out episodes every day, bro. Like, yeah, we go 5 days a week, Blog Talk Radio, everybody getting on and talking about different topics. But anyway, what my vision was, once I figured out everybody couldn't, you know, we couldn't sync up, I said, I'm going to get serious about the bar. I'm going to grind, put the nose to the plow. I'm going to go hard. And once I get it to a place, anybody else that want a podcast, we'll just create this network of podcasts. And so that was the original vision, was to create, you know, build a platform, get it in a place where, you know, when they want to start a podcast, they literally can jump on something that's already running, and my promotion get them everything they need right away. And we did that. We were able to do that with Bars, Biblical Reform Spitters, T. Barlow Show. But what I didn't anticipate was other people wanting to be a part. And so that's
cool thing, man.
And that led to podcasts that were already in motion, doing their own thing, asking to join and vetting them out. And then, you know, just me on my consulting side, finding different people, and different people coming to me when I see a concept that I like, you know, then I may keep the offer, like, hey, you want to join the network? And so that's kind of how the network came to be, man. And right now we have about, I think it's six podcasts right now.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that high, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Quite a few in 2020 just off of, you know, relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I still have that hope that one day I'll be able to get that context figured out. It's proving to be a lot harder because I want that to be another back and forth dialogue sort of thing. All right. So you went from the Word of Faith, New Apostolic Reformation movement, and you switched into this Reformed Theology mode, which is dramatically different.
Yeah. So there was a little breeze. I think I left that out.
Okay.
When I jumped out of, you know, after that conversation with him, before the conversation with my coworker, I was getting to a place where I was just tired of everything. Like, I was going to be a fundamentalist, King James only. Like, that's the route I started going mentally before I connected with the guy. So that I had kind of left a lot of the hocus pocus and made me prime for Reformed Theology, if that makes sense.
Okay. So you've gotten primed, so to speak. So what, in your eyes, especially for those listening who maybe they either are in the Word of Faith or in the New Apostolic Reformation, or they've heard of it, they have friends in it, what does it mean to be Reformed to you? And I'm really interested to hear, after you kind of address that, and I'm sure that's a long question to answer, but I'm really interested to hear, because as someone who grew up in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, I don't really understand. I have a hard time grasping the the idea of a Christian who doesn't believe in the solas. Like, it seems like, how do you have a foundational biblical faith if you don't believe in faith alone, by grace alone, to Christ's glory alone? Like, all those things, it just seems counterintuitive to me. So please, tell me, like, what does it mean to be Reformed to you?
Let's start with, you know, well, let's back up. Let's start with the solas and what the solas look like to a word of faith guy or a New Apostolic guy. You know, faith alone, okay, yeah, they agree. Grace alone, yeah, sure. Christ, yeah, Christ. But it's the last one, well, not the last one, but it's the to give God glory alone. That's the part that what a word of faith or a new apostolic person, that's the part, because the whole issue with that whole mindset is they are the center of everything. That's why you can speak and declare, because God is giving you authority, and that's why you can, you know, name and
claim. That is insane to me. So it's Arminian. It's Arminian and
oh, for sure. Tradition. For sure. Yeah. No, most definitely. I mean, there are a few people that claim to be, I met a guy on the internet, you know, that's crazy people on the internet. So he was, word of faith and reform. And I was like, I don't know if that's possible. But anyway, but yeah, so they're definitely Arminian in their soteriology. And then, like I said, it's man-centered. Everything focused on them. What you name, what you claim, what you want.
Oh, man. And
the whole apostolic thing is nothing but someone wants prestige. They want a title that's different than everybody else's title. That's what it boils to. But what Reformed theology means to me, man, the biggest thing that Reformed theology brought to my life was the understanding of the sovereignty of God. Understanding that I don't have to decree and declare, that I don't have to lay hands on people, but that God is sovereign. He's going to heal who he wants to heal. He's going to save who he wants to save. He's going to do what he wants to do, no matter what I do. That, to me, was so freeing. And so just like, it was one of the things that, like, I felt a sigh of relief, you know, because if something happens in the word of faith, either you didn't have enough faith or you spoke something wrong sometime and now those words are coming back to reap, or you did something wrong in order for you to have something bad happen to you. When you understand the sovereignty of God, you know, it all works for his glory. And no matter if it's good or bad,
we've all done something wrong. It's a good thing.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, the word of faith people knew that, you know, if it really depended on your words, you think about all the words you spoke when you weren't even saved, and all of that got to come back on you. Like that's just like an axe waiting to fall. Like, you're just waiting, man. So, yeah, that to me, man, that was one of the biggest things, just understanding the sovereignty of God.
Okay. And that's a good way to put it, because I think to me is why I had a hard time understanding the Arminian side of things, because I'm just like, how much faith do you have in yourself?
They have a lot of faith in themselves, man. It's all about them. That's it.
Okay, so that's what you would say then, is the big difference between the Reformed thinker and the one who doesn't believe in the soul. It really is the sovereignty thing. The sovereignty and the what was the word you just used a second ago? Soteriology.
Yes. Yeah. And how they become saved. Yeah. That's the biggest thing. And then, you know, the one that makes all of them just cringe is, you know, God elect, who's
going to be. Yeah.
And like, oh no, John 3:16.
Oh man. Hey, so let's take a second and talk John 3:16. I think that is, well, I mean, it's the passage that everyone, regardless of if you're Christian or not, knows. It's the passage that, you know, for God so loved the world. God was just so head over heels, reckless love, sloppy wet kiss.
Sounds so nasty.
I mean, I love my God, but I don't like my God as a big old, you know, drooly puppy.
No, thank you.
I've done some research on John 3:16, looking at the Greek and talking to some of my professors in seminary and whatnot. But when you look at John 3:16, especially your history going through the, like I said, going through NAR and whatnot, and coming to Reformed theology, and I'll get to my secondary question about that in a second. But I mean, how do you look at John 3:16? Like when you're talking to somebody, like how do you look at John 3:16 and go, dude, no, it's not saying that God just loves everybody sloppy wet kiss so much that he just wants to get you on a big old bear hug and give you a big divine hug. No, that's not what it's saying.
Well, you know, I was heavily influenced by Dr. R.C. Sproul and Ligonier. And so I love, you know, his breakdown of that with the whole the world, not necessarily being the whole entire world, but, you know, like the people group world. Instead of like just the whole globe, that's the place I go to first, man. And then, you know, there's so many other texts that talk about those who foreknow the predestined. There, you know, just so many other texts that point back to that, why it can't be all. And then what I love to tell people is when someone isn't saved, did that mean that he didn't do what he was supposed to do? Did he fall short? When somebody goes to hell, like what happened there?
That is a good counterpoint. I have not thought of that.
Yeah, man.
The two things that I think about, and one of them is what you just mentioned. It's off the same concept. The first thing is when I was looking at the words. So you know, in English, we think so is a what's the grammatical term? It's like it aggrandizes, it makes it bigger. Like it's right. So big, it's so great, it's right. So blank. We think it's an adjective that makes something greater. But the word in Greek more accurately is so in the sense of the English language when we say, and so he did this. Mm-hmm. Like he was upset and so he punched the wall. Mm-hmm. Or in this way, he did this. And so when we look at John 3:16, we're not looking at big grandfather, white beard, big old bear hug. God just so loved the world. He just loved it with such an immense passion that he sent his son. No, God, in this way, for this effect, in this way, God loved the world that he sent his one and only son. And the other thing. That one of my professors just brought up recently in one of my classes was the word cosmos. That's the word used for world. There are other Greek words that could be used. There are other Greek words that could be understood a little bit more specifically in the sense that if it's the world like the earth or the world like the people or the world like the church, there are other ways it could be said. But to use the word cosmos and to juxtapose it against the God, that God who is so holy and so just and so glorious. In this way, God loved that which was antithesis of him. In this way, God loved that which was unlovable. God loved that which was not my people to bring them to be my people. In this way, he did that.
Right. Wow.
And that reflects again a little bit later when it says, you know, that whosoever believes in him. It's funny that, you know, I think ESV, but that particular verse, I think King James, like off the bat.
Of course.
Because, you know, the God didn't send his son in the world. He sent his son in the world to die. That's just such a good verse that you can go to because it's so well known. It's so prevalent in culture. It's so prevalent in just the church as a whole that you can really point to something with that and go, let's really dive into this verse because God is telling us something here. And that's one thing I always go back to is that the Bible is not about man. The Bible is telling us an amazing story of an awesome God who took a bunch of rabble-rousing nobodies and turn them into his people. And that's what John 3:16 is telling us. It's not sloppy wet kiss or something like that. It's a phenomenal reminder. Say it again.
I said, stop saying that, man. Sloppy wet.
what's the other one?
Don't worry about it, man. Move on.
So since you have come out of the NAR, the World Redemption Church, all that sort of stuff, and you have this newfound, well, I guess not really now newfound, but this whole thing with Reformed theology, how do you end up talking about Reformed theology with those who don't understand or who misunderstand what Reformed theology means?
So I usually tread really light when it comes to that, just because I remember the headspace I was in during that time. For me, foremost is the gospel with conversations. Like, you know, if you're saved, then, you know, that's great. I would much rather that. But when people ask about Reformed theology or want me to talk about it, I pretty much just kind of go high level with the whole sovereignty of God being the center and not man being the center. That's pretty much kind of the way I go. I don't get into five solas or the tulip unless, you know, it goes there. If they ask, you know, like, is Reformed theology Calvinism? You know, I said this on the podcast. I treat the word Calvinism like the N-word. Like, it depends on who you are.
Yeah. I really try to steer clear of using Calvinist or Calvinism or I'm a Calvinist because not the point.
Exactly.
And from what I remember, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember correctly, you get the term Calvinist, or at least you get the tulip, I think, as an insult. The tulip concept didn't come out because a bunch of Calvin followers years on the road were like, you know what, this is the best way to remember everything. No, it was a bunch of people who thought they were foolish and said, look, we can take their entire theological system and make it into five letters.
You know, what people don't know is the response, honestly, it's funny because I can hear R.C. Sproul in the back of my mind, like, going through the whole church history, man. But using the acrostic I don't even know if that's the right word.
Oh, man.
But using that.
Acronym? Acronym.
I guess, man.
Yeah. But, acronyms, like military had a bunch of acronyms. Best Buy had acronyms. It's got to be acronyms.
Yeah. So yeah, using that, man, to pretty much defunct what they were trying to say, which was the opposite of, you know, God choosing who He wants to save, God saving who He wants to save, God keeping us, not us keeping ourselves. One of my favorite quotes by MacArthur is, "If I could lose my salvation, I would." You know,
yeah, absolutely. Man, and that's where I can get a little bit testy with Arminian theologies. I'm just like, you do realize that you're broken and you're sinful, and at what point do you think that you are going to just magically always do the right thing, or that how do you know you're safe? Like, that it feels like to diminish God's sovereignty would be such a terrifying way to live.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, also seems to be the brunt of the, you know, the new atheist argument against Christianity is a low God sovereignty view.
Yep, exactly. So I had experience. My uncle, my dad had seven brothers, seven sisters, and one of my uncles was a pastor. And to me, growing up, just the most godliest man I ever met, you know, I felt like he wore dress shoes and slacks everywhere. You know what I mean? Like,
of course.
He was one of those guys that you always saw him reading, like, he'd be at the park reading his Bible.
In both common grace and specific grace.
Right.
Field grace.
And so I talked to him, man, a couple of days before he passed. And I was like, I just want to call you and tell you I love you, man, and I appreciate you. You know, you've inspired me and blah, blah, blah. And he said, Dwayne, he said, I hope I did enough. And I was like, man. And see, at the time, I was Armenian, so I was like, dang, if Unk ain't sure, boy, I know I ain't gonna ever be sure.
Right. That's crazy. That's, man, that is sad. And
it is, man. And I know he woke up in glory, man, but I just hate carried that burden all the way to his last breath, thinking right. He had to do enough to be saved.
Man, that is something. All right, so last couple things. Let's just like
bullet point. You're running short on my time.
I know. all right, so we've already kind of talked about the Bar podcast. Real quick, list off who are your favorite Reformed thinkers, books, you know, Facebook pages, podcasts. What is it you turn to when you want to really dive into some good theology?
Okay, I have a big three. That's Grace to You, Ligonier, and Truth for Life. Those are three podcast apps that I visit on a daily. As far as books, I try to stay, I don't know, I'm more of a topical guy when it comes to books. So, I like Vodi, the one on Shepherding the Family.
Okay.
I'm right now working on the revised one that Pastor Burke did, Christian Living. It was by Calvin. And
so you're saying after all this reform stuff, you're still a topical guy?
Oh yeah, for sure. When it comes to books, because I don't like to read that much. Like I'm not an avid reader, so I have to follow something that piques my interest, man.
Oh man.
As far as resources, man, you know, of course, like I said, the big three that I gave you, those are my go-to. There are a lot of people, a lot of, you know, other podcasts. I mean, not just the Bar Network, we do amazing work, but there are a lot of other podcasts that are doing things out there, man. Mm-hmm. So you literally can do like I did, man. I used to sit down and just Google Reformed theology, you know, and okay. I found several resources that way.
So, all right, cool. So last thing, I'll make sure you send me this too so I can put it whenever I end up posting this, put all of the links and stuff. But all right, so tell us again, what is it that you run when it comes to social media, podcasting, so we can get that stuff on there? And that'll kind of finish it out.
Okay. So you can find The Bar on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Okay. You just search The Bar Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You just do The Bar_podcast. And then we also have separate pages for the network. So The Bar Podcast Network. Okay. Or Instagram, Twitter, Bar Podcast Network. I'm trying to get into YouTube. So for The Bar Podcast on YouTube, I have some audiograph things up, episodes. And then me, Dwayne 21.
Okay.
Everywhere.
I see that on your, behind you on the mountain.
Yeah, man. And always thebarpodcast.com gets you everywhere you need to be.
Okay. Well, if you've been seeing me making faces this whole time, so we have a dog that
I figured that
she, wherever we are, she has to be there. So she was inside for most of it, and now she has to be out here with me. And I've been trying to quietly get her to stop trying to mess around over here. Thank you, Dwayne, for coming in and putting up for, because you're talking, you're probably looking at me going, why is he making? What,
I thought it was a dog or a child.
I mean, this is real life. This is, I was really trying to keep my points down below the camera, but thank you for coming on tonight. I am excited to get to talk more, and we will keep in touch for later. And sure. Thank you again. Keep the conversations rolling. If you haven't checked out the bar is a thing to do. The Bar is a thing to check out. He's got some awesome interviews. He's got an interview with some amazing people. And I am just humbled that he would take a moment to come and talk with us on this inaugural new podcast. But you have a good night, Dwayne. Stay safe out there. And we will talk soon.
Everybody, wash your hands.
Hey, man, I'm really looking forward to when we can have these conversations actually by a fire pit and talk side by side.
Me too, brother.
All right, man. You have a good one.
Later.
Thanks for joining in on Cinder and Hops. If you enjoyed the conversation, had any follow-up input, or just wanted to say hey, be sure to hit me up on Facebook or emailing me at cinderandhops@gmail.com. As always, hit that subscribe button, interact with our social media posts, and be sure to leave a 5-star review. Each of those things really helps to spread the word and lets me know that you like what's going on. Until next time, keep those conversations rolling.